The House will come back to order. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 99.
No. I've got 1, 2, 3.
Correction. House Bill 123.
House Bill 123, as introduced by the Management Council. An act relating to administrative procedure.
Speaker Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I move House Bill 123 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is a bill about open government. As you all know, if you go to our Secretary of State Rules database, you will find it an incomprehensible morass of technicalities, and if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, you will have a hard time finding it. What this bill does is it gives rules two effective dates. So unless the governor grants a special exception, changes to rules become effective on July 1st or January 1. If there's a good reason, the governor can give an exception to that. It creates an administrative rules code with such novel things as numbers on the rules, indexes, and ease of use. It requires that rules database be available at no charge through the internet and easily searchable with a website, and it's updated to the current rules whenever the rules change. So we would create a modernized rules database. $692,000 is appropriated out of the $90 million that was already in the SIPA account, the special project account for that, and then another $125,000 out of the general fund. And then if there's any appropriations in the appropriations bill, this bill would be reduced dollar for dollar for any appropriations that would find their way into the appropriations bill. With that, I'd stand for any questions.
Seeing no rebuttal, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Bird. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman. Freeman. Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Scoggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup. Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff, Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Bird,
excused.
Bird, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 123 is referred to committee number 1. That's 12, isn't it, for rules? 12 for rules. Our next bill for consideration is House Bill 116.
House Bill 116 is introduced by Representative Yagi. An act relating to towing companies.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move House Bill 116. This bill is a towing bill. There have been significant problems around the state related to towing with the fees charged, the rotation list, the procedures, the distance that the towing companies are driving and having qualified drivers. This bill we came up with in connection with the insurance companies, the Wyoming truckers, towing companies. The city of Cheyenne passed a bill very similar to this. In our transportation meeting, we found that a lot of towing companies just didn't seem to be able to get together at all and come up with anything. So we decided that we ought to be working on something. And the problem is the exorbitant charges that are charged. There was a semi-wreck with a $47,000 charge that should have been about $13,15. Two cars wrecked. One charge was $2,555. The other one was $125. So we decided we better just do some things and try to come up. So in this bill, we addressed a lot of the things that are already there, the rotation list, the areas that they operate in, how to get on the list, the minimum standards. We did not tell them what fees to charge, but they had to document what fees they are charging, so when somebody asked, they could have a comparison. Simple and large storage and disposal areas, authorizing insurance companies to relocate and pay when they've done their duty. And that's basically the bill. There's another bill, and I've talked to the chair, and we would consider both of these bills and try to see what we can do with this. So I'd appreciate your passing this bill.
Rebuttal, Representative Filer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. More of a question of understanding. Our great capital city did pass an ordinance to regulate our towing companies. But what I want to find out is within this bill, does it mandate how they're allowed to charge? And is it going to have all the circumstances in it as far as weather, what equipment they need, how many personnel they're going to need for a certain accident? There's so many different variables to where if we're going to start regulating our tow companies on how much they can charge, what type of equipment they can use, what type of people they're allowed to hire, isn't this a little bit of an overreach onto these companies saying we are going to mandate how you run your business, especially a towing business? Because one might be charged $2,000, but what if they're there for 12 hours digging a car out of a snow ditch or down a bank? It might be worth $2,000. So if you could just kind of clarify those things for me.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you. Good question, and we really struggled over this, whether we were going to set charges, and we did not. The only thing that said they have to do is document what a normal customary fee would be, and extenuating circumstances, that's up to them. So we did not set fees in this bill.
Okay. Chief Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow. Berger,
aye.
Flake,
aye.
Blevins,
aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird excused, Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green, Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mater,
yes.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 116 will be referred to Transportation Committee Number 8. We are now on to House Bill 119.
House Bill 119 as presented by Representative Yagi. An act relating to crimes.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move House Bill 119. This bill, as the title says, is to repeal gun-free zones in schools. And this is kind of an old friend from last year. We did make it so only concealed carry holders can carry in schools. One of the problems last year was the idea of 21 years, and somebody given an exception. We just made it 21 years. Third thing we did in this bill is we put the federal compliance section in there, and that is not in our state law, so it needed to be. And that had to do with the ramifications of students bringing guns to school more than the other. And this bill doesn't give anybody any rights to tell who can and who can't carry. The people that have the background checks, they've had fingerprinting, they're the ones that we're talking about. Has there been much study of this? There's a gigantic study of the state next to us with 2.8 million people that allow permit holders to carry in public schools and on college campuses without asking permission. Have there been any problems with this bill? There has not been one. So I think we just need to take the law of the land seriously. Criminals don't ask when they come into a gun-free zone. So I think we need to do this. Legislation has been tried, tested. It's fully functional. It's on the record for students, parents, and teachers. So I'd like you to consider this along with the other bill and have them both so we could look at them. Thank you.
Seeing no rebuttal, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Lickrey. Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird excused, Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt, Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mater,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye. No.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff, Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Kirkbride? No other changes. The vote is closed. 39 aye, 20 no, 1 excused.
Not having the majority, or two-thirds, it will not be heard. All right. The next bill up for our consideration is House Bill 63.
House Bill 63 is introduced by Representative Kirkbride. An act relating to taxation.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I move House Bill 63 and ask for your favorable consideration. House Bill 63, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption, continues a tax exemption to those Wyoming business facilities that repair railroad cars. This bill permanently eliminates the July 1st, 2015 sunset date and makes the exemption ongoing. We passed the same bill last session, and it passed in the committee on the West End, but was not heard in the committee of the whole. You'll recall the necessity of this exemption is that the rail repair business is a very portable industry. Rail companies will put together strings of cars hundreds of miles away and ship them for repair wherever they can get the best deal. Since the three states to the north, south, and with the panhandle to the east have a similar exemption, they would all become the best deal if Wyoming didn't have the exemption. Wyoming already has a competitive advantage over the Beehive State where sales tax is charged. This industry employs about 160 people in five different counties and six communities. The rippling effect of the businesses as regards property taxes, other personal taxes, and participation in school and community is extensive. This industry already successfully exists and doesn't have to be built from the ground up. I urge introduction of the bill so that these significant businesses can know where they stand 15 months in advance of the sunset and can continue to compete.
Rebuttal. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess the question I'd have is kind of a preparatory question. I'm glad to see in your fiscal notes you have an idea of what it's going to cost local sources and the general fund state source. Will you have available, if this should be introduced, information as to the impacts on income and output and employment and things like that on a local basis in all the counties? I don't remember how many counties are going to be in this, but any kind of background information, is that going to be available or is this going to be a leap of faith?
No.
Representative Kirkbride?
We can make that available. We already have some information about the value of spin-off from an existing industry, and we can break that down to the counties and communities that are involved.
Chief Clerk, we're ready for roll call.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd, excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Green,
aye. Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
Mader,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
Northrup,
aye. Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Baker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Nicholas? Nicholas, no to aye? Are there further changes? Larson, no to aye? Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 63 is referred to Revenue Committee Number 3. Our next bill up is House Bill 99.
House Bill number 99, as introduced by Representative Northrup. An act relating to workers' compensation.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move House Bill 99 for the introduction and ask for your favorable consideration. House Bill 99 provides for workers' compensation to special education teachers in the extra hazardous duty occupations. Presently in schools, these people are covered. Janitors, groundkeepers, maintenance, cafeteria nurses, diagnostic and analytical lab employees, hazardous substance handlers, power equipment operators, bus drivers, workshop employees, home ec teachers, and paras for special ed. This will affect about 1,330 FTEs in the school systems. This will be paid for by the districts out of their block grant for a total of about $2,284,000. I stand.
Seeing no rebuttal, Chief Clerk, will you call the roll, please? Oh,
whoa.
Pardon me. Where were you, Representative Burkhart? Go ahead. Rebuttal?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a quick question. Will the premiums paid by the school districts be the same for high-hazard industries? It's more of a question than anything else. If they're listed as high-hazard professionals, then the premiums need to be paid in that level of premium for the workers' comp and not the level of teachers and the others.
Representative.
Thank you.
Northrop.
When I got the fiscal note back, they based it on $3.10 per $100 of pay. That's my experience in it.
Okay. That takes care of rebuttal. Chief Clerk, we're ready for roll call.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart. Bird excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen. Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers. Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 99 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We are now at that time for reports from standing committees.
Madam Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 18, Coroner's Standards Enforcement, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mater, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Madam Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 70, State Parks Peace Officer Benefits, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Esquibel, Harshman, Moniz, Stubson, and one no vote, Nicholas, and it is signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Okay. Madam Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 38, Taxidermy Licenses, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass for the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparic, Larson, Throne, Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 61, Failure to Extinguish or Contain Fire, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, and signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
All right, we're going to have privilege of the floor. Representative Bunky Laux.
Madam Speaker, thank you very much for that. I'd like to
have everybody look up in the gallery up there. We've got a whole bunch of nursing students and nursing faculty from Casper College. If they'd stand up, please. And one of them's my wife, actually, too, if you see her up there.
And Representative Lux, we're already feeling much healthier. All right. Representative Davidson?
Thank you, Mrs. Speaker. I would like to introduce a group of people that are here. All of you have seen the posters down in the connector building between the Hirschler and here, and it's Wyoming Families United and Empowered. These people represent individuals with disabilities. Welcome to the House. I'd like you to give them a hand.
Yeah. Welcome to the People's House. Representative Kasprick, are you back in that corner?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Are you standing up?
Yes, I am, Madam Chairman, but if you'd come back and stand next to me, we could clarify that.
He would be a dynamo duo.
Madam yes. Chairman, may I have privilege of the House?
You may.
Along with the other nurses that we've heard from, we also have the Wyoming Nurse Association Leadership Institute and some nurses from my home county of Campbell. So please give all of our nurses a good welcome.
Representative Barlow, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. As we know, there are many officials, elected officials, visiting from out of town. I'd like to introduce one. If there's others with the same organization, they could please stand too. But Commissioner Dan Coolidge from Campbell County is up here in the balcony. If there's other commissioners, please stand.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. From Sheridan, and really an important person with my career, clinical nurse leader, surgical services from Sheridan, Casey Ernst, registered nurse, please.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I neglected to mention that we have one of those members that I introduced the organization is from Colkville. We never get anybody from Colkville. So, Billy Welchman, would you please stand up?
Are there any other privileges of the floor? Great. I think it's time we get back to work. Welcome, everyone, to our house. Thank you. All right, we're on second reading. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first House bill for our consideration is 7.
House bill number 7, as introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number 1. We talked about this yesterday. This is on the unlawful entry into occupied structure. If you recall, it said a person is guilty of unlawful entry into an occupied structure if, without authority, he enters or remains in an occupied structure. And then what we're cutting out is this next part. We're cutting, or a separately secured or occupied portion of the structure. That wasn't really needed because occupied structure is defined. So we deleted that out. And then I delete out with intent. And if you remember, we had a conversation yesterday about the word intent. So what it's being replaced with is and attempts to commit or commits. And that would be the change.
Any further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 2? Go. I'm sorry, Representative Greer.
Yeah. Madam Speaker Pro Tem, so I say I very much appreciate this amendment. It addresses my concerns appreciate it being come out, and I would encourage everyone to support this bill, this new definition.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would like to move second reading amendment number two to House Bill 7. What this amendment does, there were some questions on the definition of occupied structure, and the intent was it was supposed to be a home or somewhere where a person is staying, and there were some extra things in their business and some other things that kind of clouded the issue. So what this amendment does is on page 2, it would say an occupied structure means a structure other than a vehicle, whether or not a person is actually present, where any person lives, or which is used for overnight accommodation of persons. And it takes out all the other languages involving businesses and things and just makes it a lot more clear that we're talking about a home.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem. It's a policy decision. I think it's a good idea because when we started with this bill, it was to deal with the place where you live, and then over the summer when we were discussing it during the interim, it sort of got expanded. So I think it's a good amendment. It puts us back to where we started with this bill.
Is there any further discussion then? Representative Conley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just so that the body understands the complete discussion, this is an issue, a policy decision that went back and forth both in the interim as well as in committee, and it's an amendment that has failed. And the reason being is that the bill with the amendment addresses the very specific situation that we heard about that happened here in Cheyenne, and it was an egregious incident that happened in a home. We took out in the committee, and so you didn't see it, an amendment that we had this delineation of businesses and religious institutions and things like that, et cetera. But there was concern raised that, and an example given by one of the members of the committee, that what if a victim was using a church as a sanctuary and the perpetrator knew that? We wanted to be able to say that incident would be covered. The way that the amendment is now working, or with this amendment, that incident wouldn't be covered anymore. And so we resisted the amendment in committee. It's bringing it back. Again, it's a policy decision, but I just wanted you to understand what we were getting at.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I actually would like to push back a little because I think that it is clear by saying which is used for overnight accommodation of persons. I mean, so if somebody is staying in a church as a shelter, they're staying there overnight. It is their overnight accommodations, so they still would be covered. But I think it's important to get the language out that says carries on business, because then you're getting into a situation where somebody carries on business is often a public place, and there's a big difference between kicking down somebody's door to break into their home and walking into a public business.
All right. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Having been House Bill 7 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 22.
House Bill 22 is introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to revenue and taxation.
Chairman Gingrey.
Madam Chairman, I withdraw second reading amendment number 1.
Thank you, Chairman Gingrey. Then, we are on the second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 22. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. So yesterday we had a good discussion about this bill, and I'm finally getting my arms around it. I spent some time with some of the county commissioners today from some of the counties that are affected by this. And so I have a much better understanding of what this bill was trying to do, and I like
I'm okay now with the going from 18% to 12%, and that all seems to make sense. The problem I still have an issue with is sort of how we have the Department of Revenue trumping the counties. So the counties have very little power in this process. And so what this amendment does, and the only reason it's a long amendment, if you remember from yesterday, the bill is really only 3 pages long. But what you have to do for every type of mineral, it gets repeated. So there's, you know, 3914108, and then there's 3914208, and then 308408. That's why it's so long, because you have to repeat everything over and over for each different type of mineral. But if you look on page 3, you'll see what the issue is. On page 3, line 3, it says, in calculating interest, the department or board of county commissioners shall first compute a net deficiency amount after subtracting any offsetting credit, and then calculate any interest due. That's the current law. And under the current law, because there's that or there, how that's been interpreted and how that works today is if it's severance tax being discussed, the Department of Revenue does that. The reason the or is there, because if it is ad valorem tax, then the county does that. What this bill does, it deletes out the word or, and it puts the department following consultation with the Board of County Commissioners and the County Treasurer, which means you just consult. You just call them and say, here's what I'm doing, but the Board of County Commissioners and the County Treasurer would have no power to object. They just have to tell them this is what our decision is. That's the part that some of the counties were having a little difficulty with. So what the solution was, and what that long amendment actually does, it says the same sentence, in calculating interest in regards to severance tax, the department shall do it. So that makes sense. So if it's severance tax, the Department of Revenue is going to do it. And then it repeats the same sentence again, and it says, in calculating interest in regards to ad valorem tax, the county is going to do it. So then there was a clear delineation that the ad valorem tax, which impacts the county greatly, would be determined by the county, and the severance tax, which is more dealing with the state, would, in, you know, some money comes back to the counties, but it's more the state, so Department of Revenue should be in charge of that part. So that's what the amendment was doing, and anyway, that's what it does.
Are there any questions on the amendment? Chairman Madden. It blocks my best view of the House. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let me tell you a little bit about this. You know, this, as far as the bill is concerned, this amendment doesn't destroy the bill, but it's an aberration away from the goals we were trying to set by both the county representatives that were involved in this and the Department of Revenue, as well as the industry taxpayers. But let me show you the mischief that can happen when we leave it up to the imagination of every county treasurer, as the amendment would indicate. In order to understand this, you need to have a halfway blank piece of paper. And you write 1, 2, and 3 across the paper, and then under 1 you write a -5,000, and under number 2 you put 500. Just put 500 there under number 1, and then under number 2 you put 200, and under number 3 you put 200 also. Okay, and the 1, 2, and 3 represents the, in order, the years of the audit, okay? So what this taxpayer had here is, if these are in thousands, we could say the first year he was short, underpaid by $500,000, okay? And the next year he overpaid by $200,000, right? And the third year he overpaid by $200,000. So when it's all netted out, you know, for year three, at the end of year three, there's a net of a -100 that is, he's short, okay? Now, what we know and think we're aware of is that some treasurers will say, well, the first year is a minus 5,000, so there is the amount they owed us that year, so that should be applied from, you know, the time of the audit settlement, or, well, from the time the audit conclusion was done until that 5,000, 5-6 years or whatever it is. All right, and then you go to the next year, the net deficiency amount for year two would be a minus 300,000. So that amount would apply from that point on, okay? And then the next year would be 100,000, and then, you know, it would be 100,000, you know, for the rest of that span of time, okay? So anyway, what you do, you're taking advantage of here is the fact that the first year was the worst result. And you might argue, well, that's the way it should be. And the other way of looking at it is to say, well, in a net sense, the net deficiency amount, okay, the net deficiency amount is really a minus 100. That was what it was netted out, and that's what net means. All right, so it's a net over the audit period. And you go to a minus $100,000 for the audit period, and then, you know, if that was our intent in this thing. Now, some treasurers might say, well, yeah, that's fair. That's fair to the taxpayer. Others say it isn't. Well, you got taxpayers that have property in one county, another one, and you know, pretty soon they're going around in circles saying, you know, how in this same audit, you know, can you end up with owing, you know, different amounts, different years, and so on. So, you know, as you might recall from my talking to you yesterday, the real purpose for this is to generate some uniformity and stuff that makes sense to the taxpayer. And that's what the original language is about. Just one more thing. What if the numbers were reversed and it was 200,000 the first year, or 200,000 the first year, 200,000 the second year, and 500,000 the other year? Well, by the luck of the draw, the net amount is a minus 500 for 1 year, but then it nets out the next year as a minus 100 again. So if you're a county, what you hope, if there's a net deficiency in even any, no, I shouldn't say a net deficiency, but a deficiency in any 1 year, you better hope like heck that it's the first year, because that's where you can collect the most money. Now, it's a judgment thing with me. What I've been doing all over the state, wherever I was invited, is trying to impress upon whoever would listen to me the need to be professional about it, and systematic, and abide by some of the principles of taxation. One of the principles of taxation that comes to mind is that a tax should not be arbitrary, and it conversely should be predictable in the formula. And, you know, like I say, you know, I would hope that we wouldn't have this bill or this amendment. The sponsor said he's coming with another one tomorrow that puts an appeal process in there, or at least opens the door for it possibly to be appealed. And, you know, that would help a lot, I think. But this thing here, I'm not too fond of it, and I guess I would urge that you consider your vote carefully.
Speaker Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. The older brother of the good new representative from House District 52 is known to say that in politics, friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. This is one of those situations where some of my elected officials like this amendment, and some of my elected officials don't like this amendment. And they sent a memo out, and I worked with the good chairman, or I showed it to the good chairman of Judiciary, and he worked long and hard and put together this amendment. So I guess we all have to make up our own mind, and since my county can't, that's okay. If you pass the amendment, it's fine. It solves half the problem. If you don't pass the amendment, it probably makes the counties mad, but solves most of the problem with what the principles are that the good chairman from Johnson County described to you about principles of fairness. It just seems to me, and the counties argue the other way, if they don't pay their tax, you ought to collect interest. Well, 18% interest is sort of levying tax plus. It's sort of a windfall to the counties. But their point is, well, what if bad faith taxpayers don't pay? I think you'll see some other legislation coming through from the good representative from Carbon County that will address a lot of those problems. So I'm just going to go sit at my chair and scratch my head at the direction I'm getting from my county, and when it comes to vote last, I'll vote.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Brothers and sisters who are digesting your lunch, and maybe your eyeballs are rolling up in your head if you know as little about revenue as I do, I was just going to throw in this thought, which is that I did hear about this bill a few months ago at a group of statewide taxpayers. And my thought on this, a subject about which I know very little, is that the interim committee has been working on it the entire interim, and to me that trumps an amendment that I find hard to understand the product of 24 hours. Just my thought.
Chairman Gingrey? Is there someone else? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, just to explain this a little bit simpler, here's what you're doing. The bill's fine. I mean, you're lowering the interest rate from 18 to 12. Got that. That's the main gist of what this bill was doing. The part that is difficult is you're essentially saying the state of Wyoming, the Department of Revenue, is going to make all decisions about mineral production taxation, not the counties. You're taking the counties out of the picture. If that's the policy decision you're wanting to do, that's fine. Just realize you're doing that. I'm not sure why, you know, we got the county treasurer and the county assessor and county commissioners if we're going to have the state doing it. What this was a pretty good compromise in saying the ad valorem tax, which is your property tax, that's the part the county really cares about because that's their 12 mills is right there. What it was saying was the treasurer would still determine the net deficiency amount on the ad valorem. On the severance side, which is more the DOR, Department of Revenue, they're going to decide that one. So it makes sure that the county still has a role. Because remember, later in this bill, it says the county is bound by whatever decision DOR makes. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement that we're saying there. Counties, you cannot appeal. When you use the word bound, it means you cannot, by legislative fiat, go to court. Whatever DOR says the number is going to be the number, regardless of what the county thinks the number should be. All I'm saying is an interesting compromise, and I'd urge you to vote aye.
All right. Hearing discussion on second reading amendment to House Bill 22. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The chair is in doubt. All ayes, please stand. Right. And let's have all the nays please stand. Somebody could be off the floor. Thank you. second reading amendment to House Bill 22 has passed. All right, we're ready, aren't we? House Bill 22 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 24.
House Bill 24, as presented by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to registration of motor vehicles.
Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 24. I would ask for your aye vote. This amendment tracks in on page 2, line 6, and simply states that for the purposes of the subparagraph, shall be the manufactured published weight. So if that weight is published and available, then that will be the weight that is used to determine how the fees are calculated. That will prevent people from having to universally get these weight slips and go to the extra convenience of having to haul your trailer in, get it weighed, pay to have it weighed, take the weight slip in. My understanding is it is a friendly amendment, so I'll be curious to hear the rebuttal.
Chairman Lockhart, did you have a question? Okay. Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Based on the testimony we heard in committee, we do look at that as a friendly amendment and would encourage your aye vote.
Okay, seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor of first reading or committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 24, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. House Bill 24, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Privilege of the floor, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Up in the gallery, we have over 20 students from Western Wyoming Community College. They hail from the counties of Sweetwater, Carbon, Lincoln, Sublette, and Uinta County. Please welcome them to the House.
Any other privileges of the floor? All right. We will now, at that order of business, of considering House Bill 40.
House Bill 40 is introduced by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to administration of government.
House Bill 40 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. We are now at that time for third reading on the consent list. We are, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 2, Bonded Indebtedness Mill Levy Supplement. House Bill 4, Pest Control Compact. House Bill 6, Domestic Assault and Battery.
Are there any bills that anyone would like to remove from the consent list? The reading clerk will now read the consent list bills through enacting clause.
House Bill number 2, as presented by the Education Committee, an act relating to school activities, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill number 4, from the Agricultural Committee, an act relating to Pest Control Compact, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill number 6, from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk, will you call the roll?
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt. Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mater,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petrov, Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
Throne,
aye. Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 2, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 4, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 6, are there any changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority members of the elected to the House, House Bills 2, 4, and 6 have passed the House. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 9.
House Bill 9 is introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
The First Amendment for our consideration is 1 to House Bill 9. Speaker Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I've moved third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill number 9 and ask for your favorable consideration. Yesterday, as you'll recall in the debate, there was some discussion about whether the language in the bill meant a significant break or a significant bone that was broken. This clarifies that language, so it's a significant fracture or break of a bone. So it's any bone broken significantly. I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Question being called. Excuse me. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, ma'am. Rising in opposition of this significant change to the changes that we made last year to a significant portion of the bill, it's a lot clearer. Once again, now we're talking about a break of a pinky, and if it's a significant break of a pinky, then it can be an aggravated felony, and that doesn't make sense. So I'm up and against the amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. It's up to the prosecutor to decide whether or not to charge to the level of felony. A pinky broken in a bar fight will not probably rise to the level of a felony, but a pinky broken in a domestic assault could indeed and should indeed rise to the level of a felony. So I would say that leaving it up to the prosecutor to charge a felony, misdemeanor, or no charges at all is called for here.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I now rise in opposition to the amendment. It's still not clear, and no offense to our brothers of the prosecutorial bar, but I just don't trust their judgment in all situations. I think we need to pass laws that are clear. Please, I'd resist or ask you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In response to the previous comment about whether it's a domestic violence act, there's a whole separate slew of statutes and laws that address that, and so those laws take care of that situation. And so this really is a general law towards specific instances, not including domestic violence.
Chairman Gingrey.
Point of order, Madam Chairman. That was his second time.
Thank you, Chairman Teeters. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I just wanted to clarify a few things. The comment was made about a bar fight. A battery wouldn't get involved in that. That'd be a mutual combat. If it's a mutual combat between two people, you don't normally charge a battery. A battery is when you have a true victim, someone who is not in the fight. Someone just walks up to them and starts hitting them. And the good representative from Laramie County is correct. Domestic violence would be handled separately. This is where someone would hit someone outside of a mutual combat type situation. I don't care one way or another with the amendment. I just would hope we would move this bill forward. We do need to get this clarified in the statutes, because right now there is not much clarification, and the comment was made about prosecutorial discretion, which, by the way, my discretion is very good. Right now the prosecutors are at a loss because of some of the case law that's come out. It's very hard to interpret, and so the legislature needs to clarify it whatever way you want to clarify it, but it needs to get clarified. So I would hope you would move the bill on, and if we need to go down and talk to our brothers on the other end and see what they could amend it even more.
Chairman Teeters?
Point of order, madam. Again, if the good gentleman from Laramie County spoke for a second time, then we were on our second time, and we shouldn't have recognized the good gentleman from Teton County. That would be my understanding of the process.
Thank you, Chairman Teeters, for the refresher. We're all a little bit rusty, and I appreciate it. All right. Speaker Lubnow, you do get final word on your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem, for my second time. I was just trying to make the statute make sense. The way it's written is it's a significant break of a bone. That means that it has to be a pretty serious break of no matter what bone it is. The other way to interpret it is a break of a significant bone. So then we're charging aggravated assault and battery depending on which bones are significant and which bones are not significant, depending and not serious. So it could be a hairline fracture of your thigh, and that would be a break of a significant bone, but probably an insignificant break. So I was just trying to make our statutes make sense here. I wasn't trying to make any policy things. So I guess vote your conscience and have your mind as clear as mine's been all afternoon.
Having been enlightened by this debate on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 9, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The chair is in doubt. Those in favor, please stand. We have a noisy bunch in this house. Okay. House Bill 9, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, will you call the roll?
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingrey,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff. Pieperinen. Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 9 no.
House Bill number 9, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 9 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10.
House Bill 10, as submitted by the Agricultural Committee, an act relating to water, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Simlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 10 and ask for your favorable consideration. House Bill 10 is the proposal that we have in front of us that allowed the state engineer to approve more than one well on a single permit for two purposes, for dewatering or for use for in-situ mining. Amendment number 1 on this bill proposes to add one additional provision in there that it could all be also be used for pollution control or for remediation. The other change is changing the word single to specific, and the reason for that is that by adding pollution control or remediation in there, there's more than one purpose sometimes that it's used for dewatering of a coal mine. You'll store that water perhaps in a pit or something, then you'll take that water and use it for dust control. So instead of saying a single purpose, it's for a specific purpose. So that is the amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. First time prior to the sponsor. Second time, Chairman Sumlet. Question having been called, all in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 10, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 10 has passed the House. The chief clerk or the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 10 has passed the House. We're now at that order of business of privileges of the floor. Representative Winters. Certainly.
To my right, your left, we have a great man from Hot Springs County who is now headed over to Park County, Mr. Hans Zodi. He's our outgoing county clerk. And so please welcome him to the House.
Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Certainly.
Straight back behind us from the county of Sweetwater is Deputy County Clerk Vicki Easton.
Representative Pipirinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
I'd like to recognize up here in the balcony our beloved county clerk from the county of Uinta, Alana Wilcox.
Welcome to the House. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think my favorite clerk is up there, Ida Shung Thompson from Sheridan County. Welcome down.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Mr. Speaker, I think all the clerks about are up there. And so I would like to recognize the county clerks around the state and especially ours from Sublette County, Mary Langford.
Representative McKim, were you just...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was actually going to introduce the clerk from Lincoln County because we really don't get many people from Lincoln County here. So, Jeannie Wagner, would you please stand up? Thank you.
Welcome to the House. Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor, please.
Certainly.
I would like to introduce our fantastic Sherry Daigle from Teton County.
Welcome to the House. Any other privileges of the floor? Just some housekeeping amendments. If you are holding bills for signature or bill jackets for signature and they're not in and you want them heard, you better have them in because they won't be heard if you don't get them in. The other thing is House Bill 88 will be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. We're now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file.
House Bill Number 34 from the Minerals Committee.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, did you want to make a motion? Like to resolve us to Committee of the Whole?
Mr. Speaker, upon invitation, I move that the House resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Representative Walters.
Committee of Whole will come to order, please. The first bill for our consideration is... Patty, do you have that list? House Bill 34. What is your pleasure? The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 34, introduced by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to municipal solid waste facilities, cease and transfer grant, and loan program, modifying requirements for engineered containment systems or performance-based design standards and providing for an effective date.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 34 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1. I urge your support of the bill and your no vote on the Amendment number 1. I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from House District 27.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Standing Committee Amendment has been moved, and as the good chairman said, we would encourage a quick defeat of that amendment. We had a misplaced oar that I tried to fix on the fly and didn't get it quite done. We've got a Committee of the Whole amendment to come in to do it correctly. So I would call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment 1, and please vote no.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for, and the question has been called. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, same sign.
No.
The Standing Committee Amendment 1 has failed. Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And we do have a Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. I'll move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 and ask the wise representative from Fremont County to walk us through that.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the House, if we could, I'd like to take just a minute and review what this bill was all about last year in an effort to get control of our solid waste issues across the state. When it was determined, there's kind of two things that happened. The landfills that we are moving to in the future will all have to be lined or have a design performance designed where the waters and fluids leaching through the landfill won't go into groundwater. And so as these landfills close, there's two things that happen. They close, and then you have to do something with that solid waste that's been generated. And so the state is allowing them to establish a cease and transfer stations where that solid waste will be moved to another landfill. And so we've provided funding and allowed these solid waste districts to qualify for funding. But in order to qualify to up to 75% of that funding, there are some stipulations that they have to abide by. And the first one is, if they cease taking solid waste into that landfill and transfer it, it has to either go to another landfill that is lined, or what we've done with this bill change this year is, if they get approval from the Department of Environmental Quality, they can send that solid waste to maybe a landfill that is not lined but is currently permitted, and that landfill could take that waste until it reaches its capacity. The other thing that happens is, upon closure, in order to qualify for funds to close that landfill, if you've been sending that municipal solid waste, it needs to go either to a lined landfill, or if they get Department of Environmental Quality's permission, if they're closing that municipal solid waste again, has to go to another permitted landfill. Now, there are some situations where you may have a solid waste district where they want to accelerate the closing of a landfill. And in order to do that, they would have to get the Department of Environmental Quality's permission to do that. And so what we've done with this bill is, and with this amendment, is we corrected the OR, and we've kind of, what we had was a couple of different subparagraphs, and we've put it all into one. And so now what will be required is, if you are going to close or cease and transfer a solid waste, a landfill, it either has to go to a lined landfill, or it has to get approval through the Department of Environmental Quality to go to another landfill that is currently permitted and can, until that reaches its capacity. There is a point in this bill that that was brought forth by a small town country lawyer that said that if you're receiving solid waste from another landfill into your landfill, you couldn't, and it's unpermitted, that you would not be permitted to, in the future, expand the capacity of that landfill unless it was lined. So, in essence, there's our bill and there's our amendment. Our amendment. We've got it cleaned up the way we need to, and we had asked for your positive or your affirmative vote on this amendment, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
You have heard Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Is there any other discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1? Question having been called.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you back there, Majority Whip.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'd move to make just a technical correction to the amendment on line 2 of the amendment. I believe it should say after the beginning of that line.
Could you repeat that, Mr. Whip?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. I would just move to make a technical correction to the amendment. If you look on line 2 of the amendment, I believe the word after should be at the beginning of the amended language, after the semicolon, insert or.
Thank you. Question has been called on the amendment. Patty, can that correction be made? So the first thing we will do is take a vote on the technical correction. Did everyone understand that technical correction? Yeah. It appears to be so. All those in favor of the technical correction, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Hearing no opposition, the technical correction will stand. Now we are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. The question has been called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Hearing no opposition, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 passes. Further debate on the bill? Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just want a real quick recap. I brought this up on introduction. What we're doing is putting some flexibility back into this bill as it came out of the House last year and as was changed by the other House. What we want to do here is allow the flexibility for those entities that are trying to apply for the cease and transfer grant funds to be able to go to an unlined landfill. So it just gives that flexibility, but we've got some restrictions on there. And if they go to an unlined landfill, it just is to go and fill out their current permit. And so there's an equity associated with that. That unlined landfill is going to get filled up one way or the other. It's just going to get filled up faster. Okay, so I feel comfortable with this, that we're not causing or creating or putting in jeopardy the safety of our groundwater. All we're doing is adding some flexibility and helping us move forward with this overall process of dealing with municipal solid waste. So, again, that's all we're trying to do here. When we went out for rules and comments around the state, that was the feedback that we received or that DEQ received. And all it's doing is it's going to help quite a few counties out and give us some flexibility and a little more time. So I encourage a favorable vote to move this bill forward.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none and sensing you're ready to vote, all those in favor of Representative Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 34 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 34 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 5. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 5, as presented by the Education Committee, an act relating to school buses, requiring school buses transporting students to and from school and school activities to be equipped with specified video systems effective school year 2015-2016, reimbursing districts for associated costs, imposing duties, providing an appropriation, and providing for an effective date.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 5 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. First, just to dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment, what we did on page 2, line 10, is we made the internal camera systems optional. The reimbursement will still cover that, but it's up to the district's discretion as to whether or not they want to use those cameras. The discussion that was had in the committee and the information that was provided indicates that roughly 50% of the bus fleet inside of the state of Wyoming currently has these internal cameras, and we don't want to force the rest of the state to do it if they don't want to. With that, I'd call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question having been called on the Standing Committee Amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Hearing no opposition, Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief walk through the bill. I did describe the functionality of the bill on introduction, but for those of you that don't remember, the bill provides for up to $5 million appropriated from the School Foundation Program for the installation of external cameras on buses. And the point of the external cameras is to catch people that are violating the state law by driving by school buses while the stop signs are out. It's a real serious issue in the state of Wyoming. We have roughly 300 flybys a day, and we did have a tragedy in one of our school districts last year where a young girl lost her life. So I would urge your favorable consideration of the bill. I do believe there is also a Committee of the Whole amendment, and I will yield the floor to the sponsor.
Representative Summers for the Committee of the Whole amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Committee of the Whole amendment number 1. One of the business managers for our local school district was concerned about the time frame to implement retrofitting old buses with these cameras and wanted to stretch out the implementation period. Even though this bill provides money to hire contractors to do this work, I believe by stretching out the time frame, some districts will be able to do this work themselves, which should cut the cost of the program. And this is what the business manager suggested to me. My amendment simply moves the implementation deadline from 2015 to 2016 school year and reverts the money in 2018 instead of 2016. I will walk you through the amendment. Page 1, line 3, page 1, line 4 basically just takes out the 2015-2016 part of the title of the bill. Page 2, line 5 replaces 2015 and 16 with 2016-2017. Page 2, line 22 deletes 2015 and puts in 2017. And page 3, line 22, 23, and 24, and then on to page 4, line 2, changes the wording, and it would read as follows. The Department of Education shall immediately promulgate rules and regulations necessary to enable school districts to operate school buses equipped in accordance with this act no later than school year 2016-2017. And then finally on page 4, line 4, it would state any unexpended or unobligated balance of the appropriation under subsection A of this section remaining on July 1st, 2018 shall revert to the Public School Foundation Program account. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify for the body, it's just a simple policy decision. I really don't have a strong opinion one way or the other. The issue is, do you want full implementation of the program to occur in 15-16 or 16-17? Currently, the way the bill's drafted, we would have this implemented sooner. This amendment would drag it out, just so the body understands.
Is there any further discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1? Hearing none, since you're ready to vote, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 passes. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions for the bringer of the bill. Where else in statute do we mandate Big Brother to watch over and videotape the people of Wyoming? That's my first question. Second question, if I remember correctly on introduction of the bill, you said there's over 300 a day of these, and I'd just like to know what the source is, because that's over 10 every day in every single county in our state. So I'd just like to know what the sources are, and where else do we mandate Big Brother overwatching us?
Representative Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nowhere else, but nowhere else in statute do we provide $69 million a year to transport our students. So, you know, it's really not apples and oranges. It's really a public safety issue. These buses belong to the school districts. They're paid for by the state legislature. The money is appropriated by this elected body. So I think it's well worth the time and the money to contemplate this action. The 300 flybys are reported by the drivers. We have over 1,200 buses on the road. So when you look at that over time, it's really not that ridiculous or hard to imagine when you have 1,200 buses on the road.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a small question on referring to your fiscal note. I take it this is the initial startup cost kind of a thing. And I don't know if you said it, but I didn't pick up what the recurring costs are. What can we expect year after year? And I suppose that, can you put these on new buses for, I don't know, the next 10 years? Or do you have to get a new one or update them? Or what can we anticipate is going to be drawn out of the school foundation account on an annual recurring basis after it gets going?
Chairman Teeters, I'll let you answer that question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so that everyone understands, currently through rule and regulation, the school districts are able to get this equipment right now with the 100% reimbursement. So we have approximately 300 buses in the fleet already that have this equipment. We have an additional 600 buses in the fleet that have the internal equipment. These costs are occurring every year. As I said, we have over $65 million a year in transportation costs. I don't anticipate after the fleet is updated that we will see this kind of large appropriation, because what we're really trying to do is retrofit the existing fleet. The way the statute will read after this is passed is that all new buses will be ordered with this equipment already on it.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the bringer. Where does the custodial chain of command fit in this with the personal information of those images of those students that are on the bus? How does that fit in, and is this even taken into account?
Chairman Teeters.
The personal information of the photography that's going to take place is going to be used as evidence. It will be in the hands of our law enforcement agencies, and it will be treated as any other piece of evidence that's held by law enforcement and the rules that are dictated under those statutes.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to follow up on the question about Big Brother, please know that the 300 buses that do have cameras on them right now have resulted in prosecutions. A flyby is a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor requires a level of evidence unlike a felony, and that this is the kind of evidence that can be used. In the past, we tried to go with just having bus drivers be able to make their report of what they consider to be, honestly, a pretty horrific situation where a car zooms by, a bus with flashing lights with kids outside of it, where one of our kids was killed like that. And so this is necessary in order to get those kinds of prosecutions, because it is a misdemeanor.
Chairman Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to relate. This is a very, very important bill, and if we're worried about the privacy, I'm telling you, on the day I came down here, my three grandkids ride a school bus 7 miles into town. The bus was stopped. One truck coming toward the bus stopped. Another semi passed him. the bus had to pull off the road, and those three grandkids were just getting on the bus. So this is a very important piece of legislature, and it's very necessary. If the bus driver hadn't went off the road, he would have hit head-on. Luckily, the cameras caught the license number. The driver was fired, but it didn't help if it would have hit the bus. So please realize how important this is.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's no doubt this is important. However, some districts and some schools and some school routes are very rural. They might be a five-passenger school bus going to a very rural school. So mandating it for all school buses, I think we ought to leave some latitude for school districts to prioritize those routes where there is significant risk. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the bill, all for policing this effort somehow to prevent these drive-bys when we're picking up or dispatching children home in the evening. But, you know, I think I heard there were 1,200 school buses in the state. They probably average 30 kids per school bus. I would guess half of them have iPhones in there with video equipment. That's 15,000 video cameras already. I think we could make this a civics lesson by having the kids helping police this situation. It's pretty simple. I don't think government solution all the time.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like this bill. I like this concept. I understand the reason why, the need to protect our children. We have a lot of school districts right now who have cameras in their buses. They have exterior cameras as well. What I think we ought to look at and what we need to explore, though, is get back to our idea of local control. This set this up so that we can allow our districts to go ahead and be recouped if our districts decide to make that decision. If our districts decide, let them decide what school buses to put the cameras in, what school buses that they want to have the exterior cameras on, and this set up a mechanism to allow them to make that decision. This let our school boards decide what they want to do. I'm just going to put that out as a thought here. I'm for this bill. I'm thinking an amendment might be in the works. Here, I'll get the good chair of appropriations pull the pen out of his nose and help me with that.
Chairman Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say it doesn't matter the size of the bus. There's only 6 to 8 kids on that bus that almost got hit. If one of those kids had got injured or killed, it's worth the $2,000 or whatever it costs for the camera.
Representative Mader.
Mr. Chairman, I support this concept of giving a little discretion to the school districts. We have a school bus that has one stop, and it's on our ranch. So they don't even travel down a stop on any highway or county road. They come straight from the school down 30 miles, pull off into our ranch, and all the kids get off there. So I would support some discretion.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We in the committee did discuss the Campbell County's concern where a Suburban or something, SUV of some type like that, is actually running routes of picking up the kids. So what we did do is we put an amendment in, and the chairman has already brought that amendment before you, but what we try to do is to put the internal video as an optional, so you'll see that there's a may that's there. We felt that the requirement and the necessity of having the external was there for purposes of protection not only to the child but also to the driver that may be a contract driver as opposed to an employee.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. With regards to amending the current bill to make it discretionary, just a question for the bringer of the bill. My understanding is if we don't pass the bill, it already is discretionary, and any county or any school district that wants to have a camera gets it, and it's paid for. So I don't quite understand the need for the amendment, and so I'm speaking against the bill if that's the case. So I would bring that as a question to the bringer of the bill. Am I repeat the question? My understanding is currently any school district that wants an exterior camera can get it, and they're reimbursed. And so this just mandates it. Is that correct?
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It does two things. It mandates that the entire fleet will be retrofitted. And the second thing that it does is it fronts the cost. And the reason why we're fronting the cost is because districts are saying that they do not have the flexibility in their budgets to install this equipment and wait for the reimbursement in the rear.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good Chairman of Education talked about how this program might even pay for itself. And I just, you know, he talked, referenced that they were, testimony was 300 flybys a day in the state of Wyoming. 175 days school year. The fine is $700. So that's $36,750,000. We could replace coal lease bonus by instituting this. And, but really, if you catch a small portion of those folks and, you're really going to pay for it, and it is a huge safety deal. And so I'd urge your adoption of the bill. And if you want to come with an amendment to take the money out, I think they're going to get reimbursed down the road. That's probably the real debate. But I think it's a good bill. I urge your support. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Just to wrap this up, and I realize this is a budget session, and we've already spent way too much time on this bill, but the MPVs are not included in this. So those small Suburbans, those small buses that are not classified as a conventional bus are not going to be equipped with this equipment. The district, I think, could still, through rules and regs, do that. But we really, what we're trying to get after are the big buses. And the average bus in Wyoming is around $50,000. And you figure this equipment is between $1,800 and $2,000 per bus. It's really pretty insignificant. We're going to see that much inflationary cost in our purchases probably next year when we buy new buses. So take it for what it is. I'd urge your I vote.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Hearing the question being called, all those in favor of Representative Teeters' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 5 do pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed,
no.
House Bill number 5 has passed. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 41 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to the Emergency Medical Technician Pension Plan, providing for funding a plan from fire insurance premium taxes, amending obsolete and inconsistent language, and providing for an effective date.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises and report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 41 do pass. And, Mr. Chairman, before I turn this over to the good representative from Cheyenne to explain this bill, I would like to, for the next three bills on the list, folks, in your tray is a extensive handout on all three bills in the retirement bills. So we'll be at the mic here, the Appropriations Committee, for the next three bills. And I just wanted to draw your attention to that. The good representative from Cheyenne will floor manage this bill. I think from Casper, the majority whip, will do the next bill, and I think I'll do the third bill, but we'll all use this same packet. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd turn it over to the good representative from Cheyenne.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and Mr. Chairman. The first bill is fairly simple. What this is a bill to protect the Volunteer EMT Retirement Fund. This is a fund that was created back in 2008. It's a fund that was set aside exclusively for volunteer EMTs. The money was appropriated $1 million from our body to fund this thing, and then the voluntary EMT folks that qualify each kick in $12.50 a month. There are now approximately 175 EMTs who are participating in this fund. In this plan, and the purpose of this bill is to preempt this plan from becoming basically underwater. So there's a fund out there that's called the Fire Insurance Premium Tax. The Fire Insurance Premium Tax is assessed against fire insurance companies in the state of Wyoming. and portions of that go into the general fund. This takes 10% of that fund and directs it annually into the new existing voluntary EMT retirement fund in order to protect the fund over the course of time. And that's basically all this does. So if you have any questions about it, I'd be happy to answer.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question having been called. All those in favor of Representative Harshman's or Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 41 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill number 41 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 46. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House number 46 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to public employees, increasing employee contribution and employer contribution in certain plans under the Wyoming Retirement Act and under the Wyoming State Highway Patrol, Game and Fish Warden, and Criminal Investigator Retirement Act, increasing employee contribution under the Fireman's Pension Account Reform Act of 1981, providing appropriations and providing for an effective date.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 46 do pass. And to explain, and the bill on the floor is a good representative from Casper.
Mr. Majority Whip Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder on kind of the path we've traveled on these retirement system contributions. You'll remember a couple years ago we had a couple of bills and we discussed either going to a defined contribution plan and the alternative, which was the one that was adopted by the legislature, was one which established a limitation that there would be no COLAs on any of the plans until and unless they had reached 100% actuarial soundness. The other piece of that puzzle was trying to get the various plans up to that amount of actuarial soundness. And what we did last year is we passed a bill that increased the contributions to three plans. It's the big plan, the public employee plan, the warden and patrols plan, and the paid fire B plan. And you'll recall that we increased the contribution to those plans by about 1%. It was 1% to the big plan and then a proportionate share in the other two plans. And we split that amount between the employer and the employee, and the employee's share was phased in over a 3-year time frame. This is the exact same thing, only we are looking at a 1.5% increase in the contribution rather than a 1% contribution. And if you look on page 5 of the handout that the good chairman was talking about, you'll see a spreadsheet that has across the top of it contribution rates, House Bill 46. And this is by far the easiest way to understand the bill, far easier than actually reading through the bill. But this shows you, for all three plans, the contribution increases that are contemplated by this bill. And you can see, for example, on the top chart, looking at the big plan, you see what has already taken place, which is on September 1st, 2013, which is a 1.68% contribution increase. And you can see that as you go through time, there are the amount that's the second column, the amount that state pays of the state employee's share, that increases as the contribution phases in, and then it decreases as that burden is shifted over more and more onto the employees, so that finally in 2017 we have a situation where the employee's share out of pocket is 2.68% and the state is paying 5.5% of that, and then you can also see the employer's contribution and at the end you see that the total contribution at the end of this thing is 16.62% of the employee's salary. So this shows you that sort of phase-in approach of the employee's share. Now, another useful chart for you to look at in the packet, I think is page 3. And if you go to page 3, what it shows you is the impact of this bill in combination with last year's bill on the actuarial soundness and the funded ratio of the various plans. And you can see, for example, on the first one, you go through, and this gets us from where we are currently, 72.8%, to within 30 years being at 100% actuarial soundness. And you can see Fire B, which is in much better shape. This bill actually gets them to 100% actuarial soundness in just a few years, by 2017. So this shows you the ultimate result of these actions. You know, this is our effort to make sure that these systems are sound, that they're going to be available for the long term. And really, this is the last piece of the puzzle, which means, you know, it doesn't mean we won't need to maybe adjust things down the road, but at least for the foreseeable future, this is really the last tweak to get these to actuarial soundness. One final comment, and then I'll take questions. You may have heard some discussions about the compensation package for this year and the potential that a part of that compensation package that's been proposed is to pick up the employee share of the retirement contribution. That is not in this bill. We will have that conversation when the budget hits the floor and we talk about the compensation approach in the budget. But as we've shown you on that chart number 5, that is what this bill is about. Those are the contributions contemplated by this bill. So with that, I'd take any questions you may have.
Representative Nicholas. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I certainly support the bill. And I guess what I'm looking at is if there's anything we can do in this bill to make it I guess more uniform across, and I guess we'll just pick the public employee plan. You know, I'm looking at the table on page 5, and you say the employee contribution is 8.25. Well, it is 8.25 for some employees, and it's also 8.37 for some employers. But with all the diverse groups that are in there, they take different. They make different choices about you know, this accounting machinations of, you know, concerning who's really paying the bill. If you talk to state employees, you will not find a single one that I can find on the street that would say that they're paying 8.25. So it's not really an employee contribution. It's if you subtract the amount that we're really paying, the amount that they're paying is 2.68, as you can see there. Now, why do I make a big deal out of this? I guess from the standpoint of actuarial soundness in the short run, it doesn't really matter who pays it as long as the money comes in. But the insidious thing that happens when you have an imbalance, like in this case where we're really paying 13.94 and they're paying 2.68. The insidious thing is that the typical member of the retirement board looks at the retirement plan as being the state's plan, and they're the ones that's got to take care of it. And if they do take care of it, they don't really care because there's a better than 50-50 chance that the state will pay for their half anyway, or their part of it anyway. And with my experience on retirement plans, there's a lot of commonalities, I guess, or, you know, correlations you can build. But one correlation that's pretty, pretty impressive is that those employer, or these defined contribution plan, defined benefit plans that are really and truly do have a 50-50 sharing of this between the employer and employee are generally stronger, and they're better, and there's a marked tendency for the control to be placed in the benefit package. And so I don't know if there's a way to, you know, how do you, given the track we've been going down for the last umpteen years, how can we get back on track through a salary jump or a compensating cut in our contributions or something so that when they get a check, they know that they're in it for half and we're in it for half instead of this, and I know how it got started. They say, well, we can save money by not having to, you know, compensate the employees for their share through having to pay benefits and stuff like that. But there's another side to it. This is a qualified plan, I'm sure, and you can, given the fact it is qualified, your payments as an employee is paid before the tax is calculated on your paycheck. So they get a break that way also. So it's a matter of, you know, who gets the break, whether the state appropriations, whether the appropriations out of the state gets the break or they do. But the nefarious thing that I'm always worried about is that we don't have a balance in the thought process. And this is accentuated by the fact that we have members in the big plan that are paying 50-50, and their motivation to improve benefits, for example, or to their motivation to make sure the plan stays healthy is from an entire different decision set than someone that looks back and says, my employer's kicking it all in anyway, they got to take care of it. And that's, you know, to me, I think, you know, it's something you can't prove, but, you know, I think the difficulties we've had with this plan, there's probably a lot of causes, but one of the causes is the, not resisting the temptation to save a few bucks in the short run to sacrificing good decision-making on the part of members in the long run. And that's all I want to say about it. You know, if there's anything that can be done in the budgeting process to, you know, call a spade on this and make salary adjustments and our decrease our contributions accordingly, that would be fine. But this system where you've got, like, a city of up where I live that they're paying 50-50, and then you got another city that's paying 50-50, and another one that's, you know, kind of like we are, and the school districts are even worse. I hope I understand. I'm getting my point across. It's just we got a mess here, and part of the mess is caused by this imbalance, I think.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just really the good Chairman of Revenue's discussion, I think, will be in the budget bill. It really is is not involved in this particular piece of legislation. But to go down memory road, first kind of clawing into the and paying the employee share by the employer happened long before any of us were here, literally before any of us were on this floor. Maybe there were a few senators, probably one, actually, two. But it happened really when the state was so broke, it was a way to give a modest pay raise. And we'll have that discussion later, but there's two other parts to that. The good chairman talks about maybe we can give pay raise to offset that. We don't have enough money in the budget to do that. I mean, it'd be a big bill, and there's no doubt. And I think part of it is an education piece. I think we've tried to do that in appropriations and look at the total compensation package for employees. I think that's a big piece of that. And I would say by paying that employee share, you avoid the double whammy because, number one, you don't increase their salary, so you don't have to increase the retirement contribution. The second part is they don't retire at a higher salary, and that's a full-time commitment until they die. So that's the piece of that. But we'll have that talk in the budget. The part about all over the map, you know, we have no control what cities, counties, school districts, it literally is, and that is left to local control. If a city wants to pay all that instead of a pay raise, hey, they have a city council that's duly elected. I don't think it's our job to dig into every city and county and every municipality of the state and school district to tell them what to do on that. But as far as state employees, we'll have that discussion, I think, in the budget. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. I'll ask plenty of questions privately later to clarify this, but for immediate use with my constituents, on page 3 of this super chart, the state plan, am I then to understand that because we're not paying COLAs until we reach the actual 100% actuarial level, that we will not actually be paying COLAs for the next 27 years to people who retire? Is that correct?
Representative Stubson?
Mr. Chairman, that is exactly correct. And in fact, you know, these, and that was part of the bill that we dealt with a couple years ago, was the recognition that these programs, these retirement plans, were never intended to provide a COLA. I mean, the contribution levels were such that you couldn't reasonably anticipate a COLA and have these plans continue to survive. And yet, when we were very flush as a state, we did that. We pumped in some COLAs. And so what we said in the decision we made is we chose the soundness of the plans, the sustainability of the plans over regular COLAs. And so, yeah, there will be people who in their lifetime probably do not see COLAs out of these plans. And that was because they weren't designed to have those.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clarify one thing. I'm not suggesting that we tell cities and towns and counties what to do and school districts what to do on it. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that part of it, the train's already left the station. We can't reinvent that. Other retirement systems were designed that way and said, if you want to join us, here's our policy on that. And they held to that, and they had good results from it. The other question I have for this Appropriations Committee is that a statement was made a little bit ago, well, we don't have money in the budget to pick up the employees give raises to compensate for the employees' increased share, but there has to be an offset there. Because if that goes down, then our contributions as a state, for the state employees, our contributions on behalf of the employees goes down by a roughly commensurate amount. There would be a net increase, perhaps, but it certainly wouldn't be a wouldn't be a budget breaker, I don't think. But maybe I'm wrong. I'd just like to know about that. There's an offset because the state's contributions to the plan would go down. In return, they'd have to pay an increased salary to the employees so they could pay their share.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just on the good representative from Cheyenne who asked the question about a COLA for 30 years. And on page 5, and you look at that total amount over there at 16.62, total contribution amount after the proposed legislation rolls in if it passes and is successful. You know, most experts have, you know, there was no committee in the legislature overseeing the retirement system until just a few years ago. So we've tried to learn as much as we can on the JAC. But the experts tell us that really you have to get to about a 19-20% contribution to be a COLA plan. And our plan is not a COLA plan, and we're trying to get the word out. And part of the compensation package for state employees is a $20 match into the 457 plan. It's like a 401k. We deliberated that in appropriations. We thought about adding that as part of the benefit in lieu of a pay raise, just put that as an incentive. And we all know how powerful incentives and matches are. And so that's a piece of it. And that's part of our job to educate our constituents. This is not a COLA plan. Start investing in the 457 plan. Invest early, pay yourself first, all those things. But again, we'll have these conversations in the budget, and perhaps some of you will want to bring an amendment to add that. I mean, it was in and out in appropriations. It was something we discussed extensively. So with that, I'll try to – I think I'm done. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. And just to tell you why we are here today, if you go to page 3, they talked about the 72% ratio. That's what our fund is funded at today. And if you look at just before that on the top of the line, I'm just looking at the big fund, you see the UAAL. And underneath that is 2.15. If we close the plan today, we would be $2.15 billion in debt in the hole. So what we're doing is that unfunded liability, we're creating a mechanism to catch up on that. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. Thanks.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I was the one no vote on the bill and in committee. And if you look at the handout that we gave you on that second page that one of the sponsors had talked about earlier, the Fire B plan was the one that I really didn't have an agreement on because they're pretty close to being 100% funded now. And one of the things that this bill does is it requires the employers to pay a certain part. Well, in that plan, the employers are the cities. So like the chairman of revenue said, we're not telling the cities what to do, but in a way, we really kind of are. And when they go back and get their contracts, we don't know what they're going to do in those contracts. So everything that is in this bill is probably going to come out of their pockets. And I know it's the smallest piece, but I just kind of feel that it's not needed at this point. And I did try to amend it out in committee, but didn't have any success. But I think the body needs to at least realize, you know, that it's not a perfect bill. But, you know, if someone else wants to try and amend that out, I'm certainly willing to try and help them out with that. But the handout really is good information for you to have. Like the chairman said, we're really starting to just learn about the whole retirement system as well. And it is complicated, but I just want to explain why I voted no there and give you guys a little bit more inside information.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 46 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 46 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Filer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I have a privilege of the floor real quick?
Can you proceed?
Everybody out here in the back balcony, we have those gentlemen that come put out fires and save our families and stewards of our citizens of our great cities here in the state of Wyoming. Members of the Federated Firefighters of Wyoming, also many of the members of the Cheyenne Fire Police or Cheyenne Fire Department also they're up here in the back balcony. If we can.
Welcome to the House.
Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes,
like
sir.
We have waited all afternoon to introduce the nursing students from Northwest College if they are still here.
Hey.
Thank you. They did come a long ways to join us today, so thank you very much.
Welcome to the House. Are there any other privileges of the floor? Seeing none, the next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 51. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 51 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to a fireman's pension plan, modifying provision for increases in benefits after retirement, specifying application, requiring payment from employers with employees or retirees in the plan, providing for withholding of severance tax distributions to employers failing to make the required payments, requiring reports, providing an appropriation, specifying use of appropriated funds, and providing for an effective date.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 51. When I've moved that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, and I do so with the recommendation that House Bill 51 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And if I could just quickly explain the Standing Committee Amendment, and I'll have Charles to kind of explain it more in the bill, but it's on page 2, the number 2024, and on page 3, line 15, 2024 is changed to, both those numbers are changed to 2029, and we've moved this 10-year period to 15 with our municipalities. And I'll explain that if we could get an aye vote on that. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, if you have the bill, I'll just quickly. This bill, as I said on introduction, is it's probably a good lesson for all of us that we're bringing these retirement. This is how not to run a pension plan. And it was fully funded, very richly funded, had good funding sources, seemed to be overfunded. And the plan was closed. There's so much money in it that will stop contributions, we'll start paying it out, we'll increase benefits. And, of course, our promises were such that with reduction of benefits, we can't pay the bill. And it is a closed plan. There are no more. It's been closed for years. There's a few active folks that are still a part of it, but not many. Most are retired. It's a plan that does not allow the participants to be eligible for Social Security or Medicare. It's unique from our other plans in that respect. So I won't go into all the history, but I want to talk about this bill as the fix. We've worked hard on it for a couple of years. This issue has been around for the 12 years I've been here. And we're just, as I told you in the introduction, back then we'd say, oh, it's 20 years away. We don't have to worry about it. Well, we're a lot closer now, and I think we have a fix that is fair, and I think folks have worked on. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll just thinking of in parts of a third, we thought there's culpability with all three parts, the beneficiaries, the firemen themselves, because when it was overfunded, some of the talk was, hey, let's start getting some of that money. That's our money. Let's start paying that out a little bit. And before we all leave this earth, and there's a big chunk of money in there left for a closed plan. The city said, hey, this is way overfunded. We can stop our contributions. And then the fire tax premium that you learned about at the EMT plan, the state said, hey, we don't have to pay any more of the fire tax premium into this plan as well. So there's really mistakes made by all groups involved. So we approached this as a third. And I would have you turn to page 2. Two really refers to the local governments, the ones who employed these firefighters. And it talks about how they're going to pay their share back. And it establishes really on page 2 the mechanism for them to pay that additional funding, and it gets adjusted every year. It could go up or down, the amounts. I'll show you the amounts here shortly. But the idea is to make sure that they pay their full part of this deal and as we move forward. That mechanism continues on to page 3. Now, you see the amendments on line 10 of page 2 and line 15 of page 3 that moved that out 5 more years for the locals to just decrease the amount in their annual payments. If you flip over to page 4, this is really talking about the firefighters themselves. And if you'll go down to line 16, you can see where the 2.1% COLA is now instituted. And if you continue to read on line 17, shall be added to the pension benefit, survivor benefit, and disability benefit. And then the key word on 19 of this change is, but shall not be compounded. So this is a 2.1 simple COLA. The current COLA is a 3% compounding COLA, and I'll show you the numbers when we get into that. So we talked, that's the fireman's third. There'll be a decrease in the benefit, and you'll see that on the charts. If you go over to page 5 on line 6, paragraph F, we say that the state treasurer can withhold any payment due to cities or counties under this section to an amount equal to their severance tax distribution if they say we're just not going to pay you. Well, we'll intercept that flow if we need to. And then it says in section 2, there'll be no adjustments in this bill to the previous base benefits. So if you retired at a rate X. We're not, this bill does not go in and say, well, you retired at 40,000, but we're going to now move that base down to 30,000. That is not part of this bill. It's moving forward on the COLA piece. Okay? Now, Section 3 is the state's part. And having a committee of the whole amendment, and I'll talk about the updated information we literally got today, but this is a $38 million piece that the state is that we're proposing the state pay for, and that we've proposed it in two equal payments of $19.1 million, and that is in Section 3 of the bill on page 5. And I think that's pretty much the bill, I guess there's two ways to probably do this. We can just stand for questions on the bill, or I can move into this. How about this? Before I take questions, Mr. Chairman, if I could, folks, if you'll just turn to your packet that we handed out, and I want you to first turn to page 6. And at the very top, it says memorandum at the top, GRS. Shows the firm that does the actuary studies for the Wyoming retirement system. And we conducted a lot of studies. We looked at lots of scenarios. But this study is a 2.1% simple COLA. It basically embraces that a third, a third, a third. But I will tell you this. The two-thirds for the local and state government, that was broken up 80-20. The state's picking up about 53% of the total cost of this. The cities, the firefighters, about a third, and the communities, about 14-15%, if you do the math on it. But if you're on page 6, if you would flip simply to the back of it, is page 7, which gives you the numbers on this study. And I would there's really three tables that have lines around them that are outlined in lines, and I'd like you to go to the middle. Thin one right just below the middle of the page, and it has some bold type, and it says that on July 1st, 2014, July 1st, 2015, the estimated payments would be $19.1 million apiece. That's the state's share. Now, when you look at the cities down below that are responsible, the city of Casper will have to pay $387,000 a year for 10 years. Okay, and you can go on down the line. Okay, now if you would flip to the next page, page 8, and this is really where the bill stands right now. And this is an updated study. There's a couple things that have happened in the retirement system that, first of all the reforms that you've passed are making a difference. Contribution rates are huge. Second thing is it's a 5-year smoothing. 2008 has dropped off. Was the largest stock market drop since the Great Depression. That has now dropped off. That was being smoothed in. And so you'll see a change in really the actuary study. So if you would then flip to the back of that page to page 9, and so you'll have two comparisons, where we were at the start of this bill and where we are now. And if you'd go to that middle thin box that we talked about with the bold print, and it talks about the state share, the payments on July 1st, 2014, July 1st, 2015. The estimated payments would need to be $15.7 million. Okay, and that is a result of a couple things. The new actuary studies, and also by moving this out 15 years, okay, which we just adopted in the Standing Committee Amendment. Now, if you look at what the cities and the counties and those municipalities pay per year, I think the city of Casper is first on that list, so we use that as an example, and they were at $387,000 a year for 10 years. It's now $305,000 a year for 15 years. Okay, so we reduced the yearly burden on that. Okay, and then I think the final chart would be the next one on page 10. And at the bold at top, it says fire a 10-year benefit increases ranging from that 3% compounded COLA. And so we just wanted you to look at some of these scenarios. So if you were a fireman that retired at $48,000 last year on the far left column where it says 3% compounding, $48,000, if you just follow that line down 10 years from now and 2022, that benefit would be $64,582 for a fireman who retired 2 years ago. Okay? Now, that, then you can see the 3% flat, the 2%, the third column is 2.1% compounding, and then when you get to the fourth column, that's where the bill is, 2.1% flat. So that fireman who retired at $48,000 over 10 years, their benefit with a flat 2.1% COLA will be $58,000 as opposed to the current law, which it would raise it to $64,000. So you can see the differences in the math after that. So that's where the bill is at right now, and that's how it affects these folks in Fire A, how it affects our state. And so the next amendment really is House Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2, but I'll wait, I guess, any questions. I'd stand for any questions. And I would, committee amendment number 2 will be to reduce that 19.1 to the 15.7. That's what that's. So I'd stay for any questions.
Any questions for the good chairman and based on his explanation? Seeing none, moving on to committee of the whole amendment number 1, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to withdraw amendment number 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman Madden, moving on to Chairman Hirschman, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 and ask for your favorable consideration. I've kind of already explained it. It drops that total amount from that 15 down to from 19.1 to 15.7, and so it reflects really the new actuary study and the way the bill currently is. So I'd stand for any questions, urge your adoption.
Although we've heard Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2, is there any other discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 has passed. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 51, and we'll explain the bill, or the amendment.
Please proceed, Chairman Madden.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, to start out, be looking around in your box for a picture that I thought I had up. Here it is. Yours will be a black and white picture that's got a graph that looks like this. Maybe you can see the color version of it and the shape of it better if I have that one up there. But anyway, it's a, I want to explain this graph at some point. And just to, in the interest of time, I'll try to get through this quite quickly. And what I'm trying to look at here, folks, is that as we were talking about on the previous bill, the only thing worse than a bill that, or I should say a retirement plan that only has one payer, like an employer, is one that doesn't have any payers. And that's one we got here, and why we're talking about it today, and why we've been talking about it on the retirement board for a long time. My co-sponsor and I are both members of the retirement board, or liaisons of the retirement board, and you know, a lot of this is based on what I have learned over the 4 or 5 years that I've been on that. But anyway, I won't reiterate too much about what the good chairman said about the way the bill is organized. As you know, it's broken into three different pieces as a way of fixing this. If you look at there's the local government component, that's section one, and it's the paragraph 203 in the bill. The retiree factor is also in section one, and it's in paragraph 204. And then you have the general fund that we'll be talking about a little bit later. This handout, ladies and gentlemen, focuses on number two and the issue concerning the improvement factor, not only as it's existed exists today, but as it's existed for a number of years. And I want to walk you through this table, because the table tells you a lot of things.
okay? If a policy had been established in 1990, you know, the average person that received a retirement check from this program in 1990, if he was walking in to retire that year and he was an average guy, he would have got the amount of $1,064, is it? Yeah, $1,064. That's where it all starts out, okay? Now, it hasn't stayed the same, the bottom line that's got the big squares on it, that just shows what would have happened if there was a 3% improvement factor that had been applied not only from 2004 on, but from 1990 on. That's where it would have been, and where we would be in 2012, which is when this graph was built by the retirement system. He would have risen up to $2,051, so it'd be about a doubling of what it was when his first check arrived in 1990. So in 22 years, he'd had a doubling in pay, and that's what a 3% improvement factor would do, or they like to call it a COLA here. The other one is what actually happened. The top one is the improvements that occurred from 1990 all the way up, and it didn't always, not all the way up to 2012, and it didn't always abide by the 3% rule, and sometimes it, if you take the amount from, say, 2000 to 2002, for example, that improvement factor, I guess you call it a COLA in the jargon of the retirement system here, but the COLA between 2000 and 2002 was a 54% COLA over those 2 years. A 54% COLA, all right? And then we had some others, ones that were lesser, but, you know, that just shows what happened to a retirement check that started out in 1990, and in 2002 it had grown, which would be 11 years later, is $2,700, all right? Now are you beginning to see how we got in trouble here. Now, in 2004, we established a reorganization of sorts, and then we started at 3%. And you'll notice that from 2004 on, it goes up in a steady fashion, just like you'd expect a 3% increase every year to do. But you'll see it's steeper because that 3% started at a higher base than it would have if it had been 3% all along. Now, if you want to know what the compounded improvement factor, the compounded COLA for this program is, from 1990 to 2012 is 5.67%. It's not 3%, it's 5.67%. So it's almost a COLA that's double what they've been getting the last few years, and it's because of years like 2000 and 2001, 2002. So my argument and my statement here is that the 3% COLA that we're talking about presently has already been paid and then some, okay? It's already done. We actually went abided by the 3% COLA, plus we decided to almost double it and make it nearly 6%. Okay? Now, if you look at my amendment, what it does, folks, is it focuses on what is the cause of what made this system go bad. Okay, and clearly the cause of what made it go bad is that a COLA was in there that was totally unjustified. All right, we didn't know it at the time, but now that we look back, we shouldn't have been that generous to give 5.67, and if it had been 3 points all the way through, we wouldn't be here talking about this bill. It'd been all done. Okay, so this is what the amendment does. First of all, in the first three pages, the input from or the participation from the cities is still in place. It's still there if we need it. Okay, so I ask myself, what if we would
hold the remove the COLA until it gets to be more than 100% funded instead of 60% or whatever it is now, 65, I guess. Instead of keep on giving a COLA when you're 65% funded and 35% unfunded, why not just get it caught up today up to close to 100%, and if things go good, the COLA will go back, and they can even exceed this 5.67% compounded COLA conceivably. Okay? So that section is described, what that language on the first 20, wait, I've got the old, here it is. On lines 7 through 25, that's the language that's required to say that the COLA is going to be tailored to the 100% funding factor. And it's actually a little more generous than what we have for the other ones. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, so if we do that, let's see what it takes to heal it up now. With the chairman's amendment number 2, that number to heal it up, well, it turned out to be $19 million, okay? And basically what it would take to heal it up with the plan that I've got in this amendment would be like $12 million. And, you know, the first version of this was $38 million, down to $12 million without the amendment. It would be a saving of $27 million. And I submit that we have, you know, better places to spend this than to go ahead and accentuate a problem with a too high a COLA, even when the thing isn't funded. Now, let's go to line 5 on, or page 5, line 20. That's the rest of the bill. And that just says, well, what does the state have to kick in now to make this thing 100% funded? And it's not 100% funded over the next 20 years, this would be 100% funding that day, all right? The $6 million, or the $12 million I have in line 29 and the $6 million I have in 33, one's an annual number, one's the biennium number. But that would actually get it to 98% funding. Which means if we have a halfway good year, the next year it'll be over 100%. But it gets us back on a track that's sustainable, and it's something that would work in a meaningful fashion. And it addresses, whenever you want to solve a problem, I look at what is the cause of the problem first. And that's why I passed out that handout, and that's why I brought the amendment. So in summary, this brings the funding ratio, I guess it's from 67 to 98. And it's interesting also as a side note is that I think we got 7 plans in the retirement system that the retirement system handles here. Of all the retirement systems, you know, we had the representative from Laramie County asked a little bit, is it really true that there won't be an improvement factor or a COLA for 29 years? And the answer they gave was, you know, yeah, that's right. It isn't going to happen for 29 years because it can't quite afford it. You know, we're below 100%. This one can't afford 3% because it's only 65% funded. And if we don't pass something meaningful, it's going to go in the hole. It dropped to, $9 million in the last 12 months. And, you know, we got to do something. And if you look at the problem, there it is. I guess that's all I want to say about it, except that I humbly ask for your support on the amendment, and I'll answer any questions.
Majority Whip Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. One fact that's not reflected in the chart that's given to you is the cessation of contributions, which is really falls on the back of both the state and the municipalities. That happened in 1997. And so you have to look not only at the problem on the benefit end, but also the problem on the contribution ends. And that's what the good chairman was talking about, the good chairman of appropriations, when there's plenty of blame to go around. And that's why the solution spreads the responsibility for fixing the plan around to those three separate entities. The other thing is, the thing you should know about this amendment is it does kill the bill. I mean, it will kill the bill. And the reason is because you have a bunch of firefighters out there, and you could have sat in on our meetings where we had crowds of them come in to talk to us, who said, look, 2004, I retired, and I did so because I knew I was going to be getting a 3% COLA. I made my decision on when to retire. I made my retirement plans based upon that. And they have, as part of this sort of grand bargain, said, we, even though that's what we counted on, we'll sacrifice a significant portion, a third of that that COLA, in order to solve this problem. And so they have come to the table. They have stepped away from what they feel they're entitled to in an effort to reach a solution to the problem. If you put what is essentially most of the burden of fixing this problem back on them, this will go nowhere. And we will be back here next year with a bigger underfunded liability and looking at a bigger bill for the state of Wyoming. So please, I would urge you to vote against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Esquibel.
On and against the amendment. And actually, I agree with everything the good chairman of revenue said, except that to reiterate what the majority whip has said, that when we did bring everybody to the table and some of the deals that were made way back before any of us were in the legislature, except maybe one of us, and and so the historical perspective really that we got in the meeting and what we heard, there were some constitutional issues here. And, you know, if this amendment were to actually pass and the bill were to pass in this form, I could almost guarantee you we would end up in court. And the legislature can do whatever we want, right? This is a bill that has a little bit of a different twist to it. And I always believed in when a deal's made, you stick to the deal. But like we heard, they did come to the table. They're willing to take a hit here. Everybody's taking a hit here. And just like in the Code of the West, you know, when you make a promise, you keep it. And
is there any further discussion? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just briefly, I voted against this bill on introduction, and I'm going to change that. I'm against this amendment and in favor of the bill. And the reason I voted against the bill on introduction is because, as far as I was concerned, we made a promise to these firefighters in Pension Plan A, and we are violating that promise. Afterwards, I was contacted by several firefighters from my community in Pension A, and they talked about this negotiated process, that they agree to take a portion of the burden of an underfunded plan. And so I'm going to go along with a negotiated agreement between the state, our communities, and the firefighters, and vote yes on this bill, but no on the amendment.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing on this amendment, it comes down to one thing, how you feel about cost of living adjustments. And this is not really a cost of living adjustment. This is a continual annual adjustment to what's paid out. It goes on forever at 3% compounded. If we don't control this, this plan goes broke in approximately 14 years. And at that point, there's no money left to pay any fireman anything, and there's no requirement for the state to backfill that. Last session, we had a bill that didn't go anywhere. It was $53 million underwater then. This session, it's $63 million. Whether you like the amendment or not, you really need to follow through on this bill. We have to, because it's only going to get more expensive, and the alternative is to let it go broke.
We can't keep kicking the can down the road. The amendment merely puts the same similar controls on this adjustment that we have on the other funds. Until the fund is 100% funded, there are no cost of living adjustments or other adjustments in the other plan. So it's really your choice how you feel about these things and how much money you want to spend. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you. Just to wrap up, I think this bill is a responsible proposal to keep the fund from going broke. That's what's in front of you. I think I'll repeat again what the majority whip said. I think this amendment will kill the bill, and we will be back here. And I think why 2.1%? I had a couple of questions on sidebars. Why'd you go 2.1 and not 2? Well, 2.1 was their third of the unfunded liability. And then we split the other two-thirds between our state and our cities and counties. So that's where this is at. And I think for these folks, this is a different plan. They don't get Social Security. They don't get Medicare. It's a totally different plan than our other plans. And that's what distinguishes them, why they've had this COLA, why the legislature has made adjustments to it in the past. But so I'd encourage you to defeat the amendment and the aye vote on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question has been called. As a reminder, we are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 has failed. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 51 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill Number 51 has passed Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. House Bill Number 34, amended and recommended do pass. House Bill Number 5, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 41, recommended do pass. House Bill 46, recommended do pass. House Bill 51, amended amended. Yeah. And recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Walters, Chairman.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole report is adopted. Congratulations, Representative Walters. With that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 8, Court Reporter Fee Elimination, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Kuhn, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 43, Children in Need of Supervision-Age, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Kuhn, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 70, State Park Peace Officers Benefits, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhardt, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, and Stubson, Representative Nicholas voted no. Signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill number 3, Alternative Schools, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, and Teeters, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 25, Funeral Service Practitioners Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Gay, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Dan Swallenser, voting no, Representative Green, one excuse, Representative Byrd.
Brothers and sisters, you got a thing on your desk from it's a thing that looks like this, talking about wearing tennis shoes on Monday. To do that, we need to vote to suspend our rules. We'll mess with that tomorrow. Our management council, we'll figure out tomorrow what to do with it. Because now we're at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. And we only have 38 of them to do at an average of about 4.5 minutes apiece. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, just to line everybody out, I'm going to try to go until about 5:30 this evening and get as far on this list as I can. There's 41 bills on here. There's 40 more that aren't scheduled yet. That's 80 bills. We do about 12 an hour. You can do the math and see where we are. Don't make any big plans for tomorrow night. I'd like to get them all at least considered for introduction. And Mr. Speaker, the other thing we need to do, I think we have two bills to read in.
They were read in.
They were read in. Okay. All right. Then thank you, Mr. Speaker.
First bill for our consideration is House Bill 77.
House Bill number 77 is introduced by Representative Croker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move House Bill 77 and ask for favorable consideration for introduction. House Bill 77 is the Student Religious Liberties Act. I'll explain it very quickly. Basically, it just puts in statute what courts have already confirmed, but it would put in statute that students cannot be discriminated against for school projects or expression for their religious viewpoint if it's otherwise appropriate. For example, if the assignment was for a student to write about their hero, the school could not tell them they could not write about a religious figure if a religious figure was their hero because it was asking for the student's viewpoint. It also guarantees that student religious groups would have access to using the school the same as other student groups do, and that's the bill in a nutshell.
Any 1 minute opposing speeches? Seeing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Lickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mater,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Pardon? Mr. Speaker, no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 7 no.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, by way of house cleaning, there are three bills to strike off the green sheet. Number 8, which is House Bill 132. Number 17, which is House Bill 131. And number 19, which is House Bill 112. Strike those from the list. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
House Bill 77 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 134.
House Bill Number 134 is introduced by Representative Watt.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses and criminal procedure.
Representative Watt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 134 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is to repeal the death penalty in Wyoming. There is no credible evidence that capital punishment deters crimes. Scientific studies have consistently failed to demonstrate that executions deter people from committing crime any more than long prison sentences. Moreover, states without the death penalty have a much lower murder rate. Executions are carried out at staggering costs to taxpayers. It costs far more to execute a person than to keep them in prison for life without parole. Perhaps the most important factor in determining whether a defendant will receive a death penalty is the quality of representation he or she has provided. Almost all defendants in capital cases cannot afford their own attorneys. In many cases, the appointed attorney is overworked, underpaid, and lacking trial experiences required for death penalty cases. There have been instances in which lawyers appointed to death penalty cases are so inexperienced that they are completely unprepared for the sentencing. Life without parole is a sensible alternative to the death penalty. The money that is spent to carry out the death penalty could and should be used to help those victims, the death penalty, their family, heal from this. This bill does not take away the one current death penalty person that we have. I could not get a hold of the family members of the victim, and I did not want to bring about any distress in their life, although I believe it should include that case, but I would not do that to them. This provides for life without parole.
Time. Any 1 minute opposition? Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can give you names of two individuals who were killed by people who were in prison serving a death sentence. had that sentence been carried out in a timely manner, at least two individuals that I can name personally, one from my county and one from the extreme southwestern county, would be alive today had death penalty been brought about in a timely manner. Thank you. Any other one-minute rebuttals or 1 minute? 30 seconds, Representative Watt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the big issues here is the number of people who are being found innocent. There's like 143 since the death penalty has been reinstated who have been later on found to be innocent. It'd be a tragedy to kill one person that was innocent.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Feiler.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Green.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
Mader.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas. Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are the Eklund, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Are there any Nicholas, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 20 aye, 40 no.
House Bill 134, having received the necessary votes, will be introduced and referred to committee or not receiving. You get a dyslexic speaker, that's what you get. House Bill 134, not receiving the necessary votes by twice as many as needed, will not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 127.
House Bill 127 is introduced by Representative Halverson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to juvenile justice.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 127 for your favorable consideration. This bill was brought to me by the Department of Family Services. They refer to it as a cleanup bill. It reflects what is already happening. Law enforcement needs to be informed in matters of juvenile justice. And that's all I have to say. It's been requested by Department of Family Services and insert law enforcement on disclosure of information and data.
Are there any one-minute rebuttals? Seeing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart. Byrd, Campbell, Kennedy, Coleman, Connolly, Davison, Eklund, Esquivel, Feiler, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mader, Mader. McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Mader. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
House Bill 127, having received sufficient votes for introduction, will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128.
House Bill 128 is presented by Representative Halverson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to juvenile justice.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 128 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is another bill brought to me by the Department of Family Services. They would like to remove themselves from involvement of release from the Wyoming Girls School and Wyoming Boys School. They think that only the juvenile court may participate in proceedings after discharge from one of the schools, and they insert juvenile court as assuming responsibility at discharge rather than the Department of Family Services.
Are there any one-minute rebuttals? Hearing none, and sensing you're ready to vote, Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi. Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mader, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Pipirinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
House Bill 128 has received sufficient votes for introduction and will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 155.
House Bill 155 is introduced by Representative Baker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal court case fees.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 155 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill would assist cities and counties in implementing an electronic citation program and provide for its long-term sustainability. This bill is a follow-up on the current highway patrol system that the Chief Justice mentioned. She explained the benefits at the state level. This program is voluntary and has no fiscal note. Around the country, law enforcement is increasingly using e-citations to improve officer safety. These are printed rather than handwritten and can be sent directly to courts. E-citations enable law enforcement to quickly issue citations and spend significantly less time along the roadside in harm's way. It is estimated that e-citations cut average stops from 18 to only 6 minutes. This increases officer safety. Across the nation, being struck by a vehicle during a traffic stop is the leading cause of death for law enforcement officers. In addition to increasing officer safety, e-citations also help courts by reducing paperwork with minimal errors. The public benefits. All e-citations are legible, free of handwritten errors, are available swiftly for payment, and everyone spends less time on the side of the road. This bill does two things. First, it implements a $5 fee with half going to the issuing agency and half to the municipal court. No funds from this fee may be spent except in relation to the system's upkeep and upgrades. We all know how costly a software upgrade will be. Second, it mandates a uniform Uniform Citation Form, along with the $1.5 million matching grant that is currently available from the Wyoming Supreme Court. This bill would create a sustainable program further optimizing efficiency in our law enforcement. A number of states have already passed similar legislation, and approximately 20 other states plan introduction in 2012. Thank you for listening, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Any one-minute rebuttals? Hearing none, and sensing you're ready to vote, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Lickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles. Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mader, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Semlick, Summers, Stubson, Cheaters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Semlick, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 9 no.
House Bill 155, having received sufficient votes for introduction, shall be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108.
House Bill 108 is presented by Representative Gay.
Read the end of the bill.
An act relating to marriage.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 8 and ask for your favorable vote, and I'll turn the floor management over to my former friend from House District 17.
Former? Representative Watt.
Former?
Thank you, Representative Gay. This was originally my bill, and when it looked like I might not be here for health reasons, I asked Representative Gay to pick it up for me, and he did. 20-1-101 reads, marriage is a civil contract between a male and a female person. Those who came before us created this statute and never dreamed that they would need to clarify it. It's something we can do today. All that HB 108 does is make it so that marriage we already recognize in the state of Wyoming, according to 20-101, the same in 20-111, regardless of where that marriage originates, be it in another state or country.
Any one-minute opposition? Representative Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This morning, 43 of you denied a member of this body the right to marry the woman she loves. And now this bill is even worse because it invalidates existing marriages in our state. There are already married couples in Wyoming. 17 states allow this. They are here. And as of last week, their marriages are recognized by the federal government. I think it's a sad state of affairs when I have to tell my constituents and my friends that the feds are looking out for their inalienable rights because the state of Wyoming isn't doing it currently. Today is my one-year anniversary to the person I love, to the person I want to get married to, and I know how darn special that is to me. And I would ask you to all think about your marriages to the people you love. And ask yourself why you would take away that bond, that life commitment to your partner that you cherish. And I understand Wyoming won't take a step forward this year, but please don't make the equality state take a step back. Thank you.
Any other one-minute rebuttals? 30 seconds, Representative Watt. Hearing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Lickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker. Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson. Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harshman. Aye to no. Simlick. No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 29 aye, 31 no.
House Bill 108 will not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 154.
House Bill 154, as introduced by Representative Petroff.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to sales tax.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 154 for introduction. Last year, we passed a bill exempting gratuities from sales tax, whether or not the gratuity was offered by the customer or invoiced by the seller. In the interim, I got a call from the association representing guest ranches with this very problem, and I said, oh, we fixed it. We already passed a bill last year, but it turns out the bill that we passed only applied to food service establishments. So we worked with the Department of Revenue to craft a solution so that this would apply to other industries as well. We asked for the opportunity to present it because consumers should not be paying sales tax on gratuities.
Any one-minute oppositions? Hearing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Blake. Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund, Esquivel, Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mater, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
House Bill 154, receiving sufficient vote to be introduced, shall be referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145.
House Bill 145, as presented by Representative Madden.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to use tax.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry I was late. I was expecting another bill to show up. ladies and gentlemen, this bill is a bill. I'm just carrying it for the as a courtesy to the Revenue Department. And what it has to do with is our streamlined sales tax. We're a member of the streamlined sales tax consortium, and we get millions of dollars from that. And just to, for some of you that may not be familiar with it, these are sales taxes that are collected by out-of-state vendors that are made to in-state or in Wyoming members who would have normally have to pay the sales tax if they were buying it just like anywhere else. So anyway, it's a relatively important source of part of our sales tax stream. And as a consequence of that, we have to make sure our statutes are in line with requirements that that consortium has. And as I think about this, I'm not sure I made a motion, did I? Oh. So in that regard, Mr. Speaker, I move that we introduce House Bill 145, and I'll further explain it. The essence of this sublimits a little bit of what the language really says, because you'll see oftentimes it says it refers to first use of the service. Okay. I'm sorry.
Are there any one-minute oppositions? Hearing none, and sensing you're ready to vote, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchins.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz. Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton. Paxton. Petroff. Pieperinen. Reeder. Semlick. Summers. Stubson. Teeters. Throne. Walters. Watt. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 12 no.
House Bill 145, having received sufficient votes to be introduced, shall be referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 135.
House Bill 135 is presented by Representative Stubson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Small Business Investment Credit Program.
Representative, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move for introduction of House Bill 135 and ask for your favorable consideration. Just a reminder to the body, in 2010, we adopted the Wyoming Small Business Investment Credit Act, and this was a program really to try to fill the hole in the state that we've seen in venture capital and developing venture capital. And as you may remember, the program uses future state premium tax credits in order to allow companies to raise money to invest in Wyoming businesses. To date, there has been one company that has availed itself of this act. It has raised $25 million in private investments to invest in Wyoming companies. And to be qualified, you have to be an independently owned company headquartered in Wyoming with at least 60% of your employees in Wyoming. You intend to remain in Wyoming after the qualified investment and your growing jobs. The one drawback of the program is it has a limit for companies who only employ 100 or less. There have been some companies that have been sort of the victim of their own success and have grown beyond the 100 employees and rendered themselves ineligible for further investment. And so this raises that, simply raises that employee limit, increases it to any company with 250 employees or less would be eligible and would allow for continued investment in Wyoming companies. I'd ask for your aye vote.
Rebuttal. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, or Madam Chairman. I would just question that if 250 is still considered a small business, what we're wanting to do is keep this money for smaller businesses, and as we increase this, as the larger businesses have an opportunity to get bigger, it's a judgment call, and I will just throw that out.
Other rebuttals? Representative Stepson.
Madam Chair, just a quick response to that. You know, in Wyoming, actually, we essentially every business except for the international conglomerates are small businesses in Wyoming. We simply we don't even under this definition. And so it's in that gap between the 100 and the 250 where we have businesses which, like under the SBA standards, are small businesses but aren't eligible for this program. So that's what this is really intended to get at.
All right, Chief Clerk, we're ready for roll call.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles. Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden. Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller. Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 12 no.
House Bill 135, receiving sufficient votes for introduction, shall be referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130.
House Bill 130, as introduced by Representative Davison.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to tobacco taxes.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move House Bill 130, a cigarette tax. Smoking alone kills more people each year than alcohol, AIDS, car crashes, illegal drugs, murders, and suicides combined. For every person in Wyoming who dies from smoking, approximately 20 more state residents are suffering from serious smoke-caused disease and disability or other tobacco-caused health problems. Adults who die each year in Wyoming from their own smoking is 700. Smoking caused productivity losses in Wyoming is about $167 million. Smoking caused health costs and productivity losses per pack is about $12.22. About half of our 50-plus population did a survey, and 77% supported an increase in the state sales the state tax on cigarettes if it was used for the Wyoming Medicaid program. So I would just submit this bill to you. I ask for your favorable vote, and just know that it's costing us all the time. Thank you.
Any one-minute rebuttals? Hearing none, Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we received detailed information in our committee last year when we heard this bill, and it's a little difficult to regurgitate it specifically, but what I can tell you is that there was detailed information about the buying habits of cigarette smokers, and they'll go across the border. There's importing and exporting. We're not just going to lose people to buying cigarettes over the border, but we're also going to lose them to buying gasoline over the border and other retail items over the border. The fiscal note is flawed because it doesn't factor that in, and I encourage your no vote.
Any other one-minute rebuttals? Chairman Davison, 30 seconds.
Thank you. I think that There's several reasons. If you got this paper that was put out about the three great reasons to support a tobacco tax, it pretty much explains it. And I guess the best thing that I think about a tobacco tax is that we'll get more money in to fight the secession, do the secession program, and fight those things. Thank you.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Flake.
No.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
No.
Feiler.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Krohn.
No.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
Mader.
McKim,
aye. Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 20 aye, 40 no.
House Bill 130, receiving insufficient votes to be introduced, will not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 151.
House Bill 151, as introduced by Representative Goggles.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 151 for introduction and ask for your favorable consideration. House Bill 151 is not a stranger to this body. It has been here several times previous, in different forms, but the form is basic. It seeks to increase the excise tax of 0.045 per liter in legal terms. And in beer drinking terms, that's 19 cents a gallon. And I have brought this bill previously to this body. We have garnered the support of the Wyoming Association of Municipalities in support of increasing the malt beverage tax. Currently in Wyoming, We spend around $27 million to treat alcohol abuse. The revenues combined from all taxes of alcohol return about $2.5 million per annum. So there is a significant difference in what we're generating in revenues and what we're expending to treat alcohol abuse. Mr. Chairman, I ask favorable consideration of this bill.
Any one-minute rebuttals? Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, this was a topic that we had in the interim. We voted no. There's a lot more than a one-minute reason why we voted no. But, number one, it was talked about treating alcoholism. Remember, we're not taxing beer. We're taxing people who drink beer. And not all people who drink beer become alcoholics, just as not all people who eat become obese or get diabetes. So we don't tax food, you know, to solve those kind of health problems. On cheaper beer, this increase with state and federal taxes and sales tax could be up to 20% of the beer purchase. And again, why would we do anything to encourage people to cross the borders to buy any kinds of products? Again, the fiscal note doesn't address that, and I question whether or not we'd even end up with a financial gain overall.
Representative Croker, 1 minute opposition.
Thank you. I would just ask one simple question. Is nothing sacred?
Representative Goggles, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this is a sacred cow. It was passed 79 years ago. If not now, when?
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Filer. Freeman. Gay. Gay. Gingery. Goggles. Greer. Green. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Hutchings. Yagi. Kasparic. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson. Lockhart. Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne. Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 19 aye, 41 no.
House Bill 151, receiving insufficient votes to be introduced, will not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 4.
House Joint Resolution 4 is introduced by Representative Hunt, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to clarify that only local school district boards may prescribe textbooks and curriculum.
That was the first reading of the bill, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just announced that. That's okay. Representative Hunt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. This is a proposed amendment that reasserts local control for school boards, and it lends them a voice in an era when local school boards seem to be going by the wayside as far as powers and duties assigned to them. What this does is clarifies existing language that is already in the Constitution under Article 7, Section 11. And it already says in there that neither the legislature nor the state superintendent shall prescribe textbooks. And what we're doing is adding not just textbooks, but curriculum to that as well, and saying that neither the legislature nor the superintendent nor any state agency shall impose textbooks or curriculum, nor shall they have the authority to hire or fire administrators or teaching staff. It closes an open-ended area of the Constitution that leaves this gray void of just whose responsibility is it to do this. And so I would ask for your favorable consideration, and I would stand for any questions. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two specific questions and concerns that I've had and shared with the sponsor of the bill is that constitutionally our districts are not recognized. And so we've put this in. How's the court going to deal with that in the future? Are we going to constitutionally recognize their right to exist? If so, I mean, we could abolish them. But I don't know how you deal with that issue. Also, curriculum implies textbooks. I don't know how you differentiate between those two. But I'm willing to work on it. I think my time's up.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Just a question on the language here. It says, nor shall the state superintendent or any other agency infringe upon the inherent employment powers. Does that mean we can't regulate for workers' compensation, OSHA, safety, health premiums? We can't decide when we're paying health premiums, those kind of things. I'm really worried about a tangled mess we're creating here. Representative Hunt, 30 seconds.
Okay. to Mr. Speaker's question, I don't have the answer to those questions, but I think that that would be something worthy of debate if we can get this through introduction. And to the good representative from Goshen County, chairman of education, I would say that no, I understand that we didn't recognize them, we did not recognize district constitutionally. They are not in the Constitution, they are only in statute, but if not there, then whose job is it?
Time.
That hasn't been answered. Thank you.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden. Mater.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harshman, no to... Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Larson, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 30 aye, 30 no.
House Joint Resolution 4, receiving insufficient votes to be introduced, will not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 136.
House Bill 136 is introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 136 deals with an issue that we've been working on and talking about for a long time. And really, if you has two parts, it really... prohibits prescribing of remedial courses, and I'll talk about that quickly, but the University of Wyoming actually does not require them, but it would prohibit that. And then at the community colleges would only be allowed to require them. These are non-credit classes for folks who have been out of high school 3 years or longer, and with an exception for military religious service. I've got a handout in your tray. If you get it has big number 136 on the top. So it's pretty easy to spot. This is a lot of info that gets thrown around this floor, and this is the data from the community college. These would be kids who graduated our high schools and out-of-state high schools, started in 2009, and it's a three-year look. I'd direct your attention down to the lower box where it says first-time in-state students, 17 to 19 years of age. That's what YOA is. You go across, that applied, 1941, the first column, 27% had to enroll in remedial math, 6% had to enroll in remedial English, 16% had to do both. And so that's 48% when you combine those all together. And out of those 928 students there, that 48%, 3 years later, 430 or 46% actually passed what are called those gateway courses, passed both college English and math. This does not work. The system does not work. And it's colleges all over the country are dumping it. Part of the problem in Wyoming, too, there's no standard. I mean, in some colleges have an 18 as a passing grade on the cutoff. Other colleges are 20. And so there's no common standard in the state. You could have a brilliant kid who got a 28 on the, or 30 on the math portion of the ACT, got a 17 on the English, has to take remedial English, wants to be an engineer. Now, that person's motivated, smart enough to get through college English. But we make them sit around for another year, tax them and their family, pay from our state coffers to fund instructors. Thank you.
Any 1 minute rebuttals?
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill came up a year ago, and the community colleges and the University of Wyoming took on the challenge. We have joined Complete College America. We have formed Complete College Wyoming. They have made significant decisions on how to reduce the remediation. They're talking about co-remediation. They're talking about programs that where the colleges and the high schools cooperate to make sure that there is an alignment with the curriculum. We have only had a year to work on this, and I think that this bill is premature. I think that if we don't make those inroads, then I think this something like this should come up. Thank you.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge the body to vote no on introduction. This is a problem, but there are other solutions, and one of the solutions that we've been working on is to bolster the high school graduation requirements so that students don't need remedial classes. If students need remedial classes, honestly, they need them, or else they're not going to succeed in college or university, math or English. We want students to succeed in college. They need those skills. Prohibiting remedial classes isn't the way to do it.
Chairman Harshman, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, the research shows just the opposite. The remedial classes do not work. In fact, it shows to be a disincentive when you keep folks along and keep them in the process longer and longer and longer. And so, really, the diverse standard, the fact that it's a tax, about $2 million on our people that's not voted on, and more cruelly, a tax on time. And that's the discouraging part. Many of these kids are smart and bright. They might have fell below some standard set by someone in a community college on one area, and it does not work. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer. Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden, Mater,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 30 aye, 30 no.
House Bill 136, receiving insufficient votes for introduction, will not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110.
House Bill 110 is introduced by Representative Gay.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to government administration.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring you House Bill 110. Ask for your favorable vote. Ladies and gentlemen, 13 months ago, the 62nd legislature passed an unconstitutional bill. Last Monday, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court admonished us to get to work. So let's get back to work. And this bill is how we do it. This simple little bill is only 62 pages long. It begins by eliminating the position of Director of the Department of Education and reinstating the Superintendent and specifying certain duties that will be back ascribed to her. That is the body of the bill. We're all familiar with what happened and what needs to happen to get that back into line with our instructions to become constitutional once again. Thank you.
Any one-minute rebuttals? Hearing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz. Moniz.
No.
Nicholas. Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 23 aye, 37 no.
House Bill 110, receiving insufficient votes, will not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152 is introduced by Representative Simlick.
Chair, first reading of the bill.
An act relating to water.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 152 and ask for your favorable consideration. For a number of years, we've funded the University of Wyoming Water Research Program through the omnibus planning bill. All this bill will do is take that program out of the omnibus bill and set it aside to put it in a separate bill that will go on forward. It's not really appropriate for how the research component in the planning bill. It's not really appropriate to have in the construction bill. So all this bill would do is just set it aside and say it's going to be a standalone bill that we will consider. It doesn't affect the appropriation. Appropriations remain the same that's in the omnibus bill as what is in this proposal.
Any one-minute opposition to this controversial bill? Any one-minute opposition? Hearing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup. Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
House Bill 152, receiving sufficient votes for introduction, shall be referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we terminate bill introductions for the evening and get on with our other business.
You've heard the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Bill introductions are terminated for the evening. We're now at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 101, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 38, Hunter Safety Exceptions, ayes 28, noes 2. Sincerely, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 102. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 44, State Parks, Use of Fees. Ayes 15, noes 15. Sincerely, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 103. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 46, State Parks-ATM Donations. Ayes 16, noes 14. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 104. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 50, State Minors Health Coverage. Ayes 30, noes 0. Sincerely, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 105. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 61, Veterans-Resident Tuition Provisions. Ayes 29, noes 1. Sincerely, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 106. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 60, VIN Inspection Authority-Game and Fish. Ayes 27, noes 3. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Just a reminder to everybody that we have gone long, but we are here to do the people's business. If you have a committee meeting and some other appointments, please make sure that we have a quorum so that we're able to complete the people's business tonight if you have a committee meeting. Representative Blake, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My numbers on this handout that was concerning sneakers, I didn't quite read exactly what it said, but it's for all the lobbyists and everyone else behind the curtain here to wear their sneakers, not ours. So polish up your cowboy boots tonight and your dress shoes. And if you want to wear your sneakers at noontime, that's fine, but it's not for on the floor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You know, that was a slippery slope. I was afraid we were going to have nudists coming naked against a flu one of these days. Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Speaker, are you on committee announcements? Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, we will meet on noon recess tomorrow to take up House Bill 90, Release of Juveniles to a Responsible Adult, House Bill 76, Property Forfeitures and Seizures, and House Bill 107, Forfeiture of Property for Criminal Offenses.
Chairman Lockhart.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development will meet room number 18. At 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to consider House Bill 35, Select Committee on Transfer of Public Land, and House Joint Resolution Support of Taiwan.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs will meet 10 minutes after adjournment or sooner, if we get enough committee members there, in H-17 to discuss the following bills: House Bill 59, Authorized Motor Vehicle Lights, and House Bill 60, Light Trailer Titles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess in H-10 for consideration of House Bill 71, House Bill 104, and House Bill 111.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H-11. We're going to be discussing House Bill 54, Lottery Board, House Bill 53, Wyoming Lottery Definition, House Bill 21, Property Tax Exemption, Charity.
Chairman Simlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Joint Ag Committee is hosting another briefing this year. It is to be upon adjournment. We're up in room 302. All the personnel from the state and national forest are there to give their report.
Chairman Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, travel number 6, TRW, will meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll go over House Bill 30, Prohibited Harassment of Wildlife, House Bill 48, Fishing with Artificial Light, House Bill 102, Sage-Grouse Implementation Team. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, everyone, for good work this afternoon, and every minute we could save off today is one we won't have to do tomorrow. Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, February 14, 2014.
You have heard the motion that the House adjourn until 9:30. That's 9:30 tomorrow morning, February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. If you have any shopping to do, do it now. 9:30, February 14th, 2014. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is in recess.